me the letter.
Are we all set for a special order?
Yes.
Okay.
David. Calling the Local Agency Formation Commission meeting to order August 18th, 2005 at 9 a.m. Before we start, I just wanted to mention that we have to be out of here in an hour and a half because the Fish and Games will be here immediately following us. So any public comment or anything, please hold it to 3 minutes. I thank you very much. roll call, please.
Vice Chairperson Nassajan.
Here.
Commissioner Bianchi.
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks.
Here.
Commissioner Picanzo.
Here.
Commissioner Roberts.
Here.
Commissioner Scalise.
Here.
Alternate Stan Gustafson. Alternate Tom Murray. Alternate Commissioner Jim Patterson.
Here.
Alternate Commissioner Alan Settle.
Here.
Chairperson Barbara Mann.
Here. Approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the
so moved.
Revised meeting or revised minutes?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. All persons wishing to speak on agenda items or during the public comment portion of the meeting are asked to fill out a request to speak form and provide it to the commission clerk prior to the beginning of that item. Each speaker will be limited to a 3-minute presentation during public hearings. Applicants or the representatives will be given the opportunity to speak first after the staff report is given and questions of the commission have been addressed. Consent agenda. Approve without discussion unless we're pulling it for a separate item.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Carries. Informational items. You want to take us into this, please, Paul?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I know John Seitz said wanting to make some public comment. I don't know if he realized that we just went through the public comment period. Not wishing to cut him off, as I know that he's kind of a shy and retiring individual.
And I thought I got away with that.
John, is it before or public?
Thank you, Paul. Madam Chairman, members of the Commission, I just wanted to make a comment that regarding the Avila Beach Community Services District, that board at its last meeting took a look at implementing solid waste within its jurisdiction, sort of piggybacking on the experiences in the Pomo, Templeton, Oceano, and other districts and the successes that they have had with local control over solid waste. I'm just making a comment that you can probably expect an application to exercise that latent power sometime within the next couple of months.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Paul?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. You may have noticed that most of the agenda today is taken up with informational items, but I think it's kind of timely that we talk about, first of all, the City of San Luis Obispo's sphere of influence that we've been working on for several months. I'm going to ask David to kind of give you an update on that. We are scheduled to appear at the City Council once again next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock to indicate to them what we've done so far and also talk about the Planning Commission meeting that we had last month. But, David, if you could give the Commission an update.
Sure. We have been working on the sphere update, as Paul said, and the service review. And the council meeting is scheduled for August 23rd. This is their second council meeting considering this. The Planning Commission for the city has previously considered the sphere of influence update and has made a recommendation to the City Council. The City Council will also consider tentative approval of the memorandum of agreement. They're also going to consider endorsing the sphere of influence boundary. And they have a staff recommendation in front of them for the August 23rd meeting. We'll get into a map that shows that boundary. The MOA has been revised a little bit, although we're pretty much there, I think, in terms of the language in agreement with at a staff level. And really we wanted to emphasize or clarify that the MOA does not allow for duplication of impact fees, that the fees are proportional to impacts that are occurring, but that the city and the county are coordinating in terms of those fees. impact fee. So that's been clarified, and that was coming out of the Planning Commission meeting at the city. We also clarified the referral process, that it would not impede or delay the county land use process. And we wanted to make sure of that because the process for land use processing is already a bit long and takes some time, as you may well know. But we wanted to make sure that this didn't add time to it, but that it was included as part of that land use process. So we've added some language to the MOA that clarifies that as well. The sphere boundary, the Planning Commission, City Planning Commission, recommended an area south of Buckley to be included. I think the staff has taken a look at that, and I think what's happening there is they're going to see that that area is going to be in a conservation easement in the future. And because it's going to be in a conservation easement, there's not a lot of need for city services in the area. So staff is going to be recommending for that area to be excluded. We'll see what the city council says about that, and I'll show it to you on a map in a minute here. The other thing to be considered is that this can be reconsidered in 5 years. It's not like the door closes on that particular area. And also, the city probably will be doing a general plan update in about 5 years. So it would be evaluated, I would imagine, as part of their general plan update, which hasn't been updated since 1992 or 93. This map shows you the Planning Commission areas that were added, the green areas, and I think we went over this at our last meeting. The red area that's coming up on your screen now, just south of Buckley, that's the area that is recommended for exclusion from the sphere of influence. Otherwise, the green areas have been added and are recommended for inclusion by the staff at this point in time. So that's the sphere boundary that the City Council will be considering. It includes the study areas 1 through 9. We took out the California Men's Colony. And then it excludes that area south of Buckley and includes the green areas on south of on the south portion of town and adjacent to Highway 101. So in summary, August 23rd is the evening of, is the meeting where they'll consider the MOA and the sphere update. We'll be revising the sphere update maps, the municipal service review, and the CEQA documents based on what comes out of that. And we hope to release the documents in September, shortly after the City Council takes their action. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to try and answer.
I have one.
Push your button.
You know how to deal with that.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Mr. Church, my understanding was the city was interested, the entire airport area, which includes Buckley north and south, and why is this as is now? They want to exclude that portion.
Well, the blue area you can see is the airport area portion of it, and then the area to the north of Buckley is included in the sphere. To the south of Buckley, maybe Mike Drays. Mike, could you help us out on that question, possibly?
Certainly. Michael Drays, City of San Luis Obispo. I think probably what you're referring to is the area that in blue over on the right of this map does go south of Buckley Road. That includes the Strasbourg property where they have the plant. That's all included in the area that we're talking about. It's presently in our sphere, so there's really no change there. There is a minor change, and I'm not sure if it really shows in this map. I can't tell. Mr. Madalena owns some property down near the end of the airport. That's also recommended for inclusion in the sphere, about where the arrow is down there. So we're the only one we're not recommending go south of Buckley is the orange or red area that's the agricultural area.
And that includes Tolosa Winery as well, the exclusion?
I don't recall whether that's in there. I'm sorry.
That's further south. That's where Buckley ends and Broad Street. And
oh, yeah, I'm over on the western side.
Right.
The it does include, there's Caltrans owns some property. I think, David, we're talking about the stuff over on the western end of.
Oh, over on this side.
Yeah, that's recommended for inclusion in the sphere. Caltrans property down there, some other stuff, and that's where Buckley would go on through to South Higuera. That's recommended to be in the sphere. We had a gentleman from Caltrans show up at one of our meetings and ask that they be included in the sphere, and everybody seems comfortable with that, Planning Commission. We'll see how the City Council goes on Tuesday.
Wendy?
Yeah, my questions were really in the same line. That and was there a survey done in that area of property owners, that red area?
No, that area was not originally in the survey area. Sorry for my back, Wendy.
That's okay. Well, I'm just curious because, I mean, I do know that, you know, there are some larger fields.
I'm sorry. Bring your mic up. Oh. You need to speak in.
Well, I didn't want to boom down after. To stay away from it. Let's see, where was my thought? You know, there are a few larger farming areas in there, but there are still two the little ranchette kind of things in that area. So I just was curious. Especially if we didn't survey it, I just was.
Yeah, we haven't surveyed the folks there. We can actually send out a survey. It's not very many property owners to that area, so
there's not.
Yeah, we could easily send out a letter and a survey card. That would not be a problem at all.
I just thought that while we're doing this, if we were able to speak to the residents or the property owners, at least to find out where their interest is, and even if they know this is going on, because sometimes not everybody is up to date, both the city and us will feel better about it.
Well, and one thing we have done is have done a direct mailing to all the property owners, including those property owners who have been added. That the city council meeting is occurring in August, on August 23rd. So that mailing is happening, notifying them as well.
So what I'm trying to get to is, like, what's happening on Tank Farm Road. Some are hooking up from Hokira Street to sewer line and the water. Those further south on Tank Farm, almost in the middle, they don't know which way to go, and if they want to do something, they might get caught in the middle of this process by delaying their projects and or being very expensive later on to hook up. If they know that sooner or later they're going to be part of the city, any future development on a commercial zone, which most of it is, can at least do the infrastructure early on, or at least have the discussion going on to see what their desires are. And then if they choose not to, or the city chooses not to, after have heard from them, that's okay. But the information, I thought it might be valuable one to receive at this time.
Well, I can tell you that the City of San Luis Obispo has been working with the property owners, particularly along the Tank Farm corridor. We're going to be running some lines along there. Our main sewer trunk line is going down Tank Farm Road or close to Tank Farm Road. Those properties will be asked if they'd like to be annexed to the city fairly soon, because we're also doing the airport area specific plan next Tuesday, the final hearing on that, hopefully. And they will be able to come into the city and hook up when they're ready to hook up. They're not required to hook up when they come in, but we are accommodating those owners. They seem to be, you know, the ones that are further south toward the Strassbaugh property and down on the end of the airport will be more problematic simply because there are no facilities in the area. So they may have to front some of the money for the sewer and water lines, which they'd be reimbursed for later when other people annex and build. So they're a little further out, but the ones along Tank Farm are pretty.
If nothing else, maybe a courtesy,
yeah,
information sharing with the landlords.
Right.
Sure, we can. Sure, we're in the process of doing that, but we can.
Even though the 5 years will come very soon, but yeah, for some of the folks that live in that area, at least a couple of that I know are at an age where, right, 5 years is a lot of time.
That area includes Davenport Creek, Davenport Creek Road and all that in that 550-acre piece there, correct?
That's,
yeah, if it, you know, I would strongly support doing the survey as we did with all the other areas, you know, if that's possible.
Yeah, we can do that. We will do that.
Okay,
send out
great
survey cards and a letter to the new areas.
Yeah, I think for the record, we need to have that in there. I think we just need to be, that would be prudent on our part as LAFCO.
Any other questions or comments from the commission? Do I go to public comment now? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll move on then to item B2, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And by the way, you are invited to attend the council meeting if you wish next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. on San Luis Obispo. The next item that we're going to give you an update on is the North County CSDs, Community Services Districts. And we are pretty much ready to issue the Templeton CSD report. The admin draft has been sent municipal service review to the district. We've received comments back from the general manager and are in the process of making final revisions to that. We're looking for information about Williamson Act right now so that we can identify those properties that are, in fact, under the terms of the contract. We have are in the process of mailing out a survey to the property owners, and we're going to mail that out next week. It's attached, and it will not say city's sphere of influence. It will say Templeton CSD's sphere of influence. We'll change that. Next, David. And the key, as with most districts and cities, is adequate water to serve the sphere of influence areas. It's something that we note as a theme in San Luis Obispo County, so we'll be addressing that as a key issue with Templeton. San Miguel CSD, you may recall that one of the areas that we'll look at on a map in a moment is the San Miguel Ranch that's on the west side of 101, and that is the subject now of a general plan amendment that's been filed with the county. Timing-wise, I'm not sure that it's good to pre-guess what the board may do and include this area within the sphere of influence until the general plan amendment has been approved, so we're kind of wrestling with that at this point, but we may leave it out in the recommendation, and then if the board changes the land use designation, goes through the GPA approval process, bring it back to your commission. You know, we hate to wait that long. It could be a year from now before the board makes a decision on it. You know, we're trying to make sure that the community is fully informed on this project, and, you know, waiting to make a decision would probably be the best way to do it. And the GPA would include a CEQA analysis, which we could use. So we'll, you know, we'll get back to you on that. It's kind of a work in progress. Heritage Ranch is relatively easy. We don't have any issues that we're going to be addressing. We just need to look at it. No expansion is requested or planned. So that one's pretty much in the bag. So, you know, the one that we're really stressing now is Templeton, so as soon as we get that done, we'll bring this back to you. It should be within the next month or 2 months.
Any questions?
And that is it. Any questions?
Wendy?
I just wonder if there'd be any value, and I'm just really kind of fishing here. When we did the Napomo, you know, we all went down there and looked and did a little tour, and I just didn't know whether maybe that Templeton might be of some use to
sure.
Do that. I don't know if we can, if that's it, we can do that. Have the money to put that together?
No, I think that's fine.
Excuse me?
Put the
mic. Okay, sorry about that. I'll repeat what I said. We did a tour of Napomo when we were looking at their sphere of influence, and so maybe finding a little couple hours to do the same in Templeton would be of value to the LAFCO board. I don't know how the rest of the board feels.
Yeah, if there's an interest on the commission, and certainly we could do that. Is that something the commission would want us staff to arrange?
I think it's worth looking into it. I know okay. It's always difficult to get all of us to agree on a date, but at least those who can and have a desire should be able to.
One thing about it is being out and getting the lay of the land is there's a lot of value in it.
There's a lot of benefits to
visiting the site and visiting the areas.
Really. We'll try and pick a date and get back to your commission and see if there's a, you know, if we can find a time that everyone can make it or most can make it. But yeah, I think that would be a real benefit, real plus.
Or if the next meeting can be held at Templeton CSD and then we're all scheduled to be there. We just scheduled for half a day and, move us as fast as we can, then it's be easier for especially our secretary to be calling everybody and see who can not, and back and forth. This way we have a scheduled meeting. As usual, we'll meet there, and from there we'll be in a ride-on bus that all of us can ride together.
Ray.
Yes, Madam Chair, quick comment on it. We will need to comply with the Brown Act and convene this as a meeting, but it can be done. And one possibility is either to adjourn this meeting to another meeting, or we can just simply schedule it as a meeting and pick whatever location that serves your purposes.
Thank you. No other comments from the commission? Then I think we would just direct staff to handle the arrangements for that. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, going to B3 now, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. B3 is a status report on the Community 2050 conference and follow-up that is taking place. One of the things about the type of meeting that Community 2050 was is that we've had a number of these in the past, and, you know, a month later, everybody's, you know, kind of forgotten what the intent was. So this is an attempt on the part of LAFCO and on the part of COG and county planning and all those that were involved in that. And I'll let David give you an update on where we're headed with Community 2050.
Community 2050, it is an effort between LAFCO, the SLO COG, as well as the APCD and County of San Luis Obispo right now. Moving towards smart growth and moving towards land use policies that promote the types of things that smart growth envisions. We've had a number of efforts along these lines, and I think the idea is to keep going and to keep boring into the issues, and that's what we heard at the regional workshops or the places workshops is, let's keep going. We want this stuff to be coming out and continue to be worked into our plans and to continue the dialogue about it, because there aren't easy answers when it comes to land use decisions. And I think to continuing the dialogue and to discuss how we can do it better brings value to the entire process. Along those lines, we've started to schedule sub-regional workshops, and October 1st was the first one in North Coast at the Morro Bay Community Center. And before I kind of skipped it, but we went on, we actually had lunch with a lot of the elected officials. Many of you were involved, and we brought together elected officials from the different regions to actually discuss the issues that were more pertinent to their region or to their area, so we could actually focus these sub-regional workshops. And so we did that. The next step is actually scheduling the workshops. October 1st, as I said, North Coast, Morro Bay Community Center is the first one. October 15th is the Central County, and that'll be at Grace Church in San Luis Obispo. October 22nd is the North County at Templeton Middle School. And November 5th, South County, Grace Church in Arroyo Grande. And the idea for these workshops, the previous workshops we've done a little bit more global work. I think looking at the issues in a broad way, really taking in some input in that kind of way. Now we're going to be putting together panels of presenters for key issues like housing, land use patterns, ag open space, water resources, transportation, fiscal issues will be discussed. And we'll have a panel for each of these particular areas, that panel of experts, if you will, that will actually discuss and talk about these things, and then we'll have breakout tables where people discuss them further. And the idea is to bore down into the issues a little bit more, because typically we get into things a little bit topically when we deal with them, and we don't get to bore down the details, a little bit more of the details anyway. If you get too much of the details, it would be a pretty boring meeting. So we'll try and keep it lively. We're going to be providing background information for fiscal and public services pieces of the puzzle using our MSR information that we've gathered already for a lot of jurisdictions. So we're going to try and provide some of that background information in this effort. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Richard?
Yeah, David, I see by the report here that LAFCO staff is part of the technical working group. Is there a steering group, a steering committee, too, and is LAFCO a part of that, or is the technical group do that kind of activity? Or?
Right. Well, the technical group is the staff from the different agencies that gets together and tries to organize and coordinate the effort that's going on. The steering committee is really the elected officials that we've met with and had lunch with and tried to pull together that group. So that we can get some direction and overall kind of buy-in early on as the direction we're heading. And so that's been kind of our steering committee. But there isn't a formally set up steering committee at this point in time.
I guess maybe I could direct this question to Paul. Paul, to you and Ron DeCarli and the APCD officer and so forth, do you folks kind of umbrella this thing a little bit, or how does that work?
What we're trying to do, and I think David would agree with this, is, you know, make it attractive enough that somebody, you know, elected officials, hopefully, will pick up the ball and run with it. Because without buy-in, I think, from all of the agencies and, you know, cities, districts, and so on, you know, the staff can only do so much. And so we're hoping that by increasing the level of awareness and information sharing that, you know, this thing's going to get a life of its own and kind of gather momentum, because it is pretty much of a common sense approach to things, you know, when you really think about it. And in San Luis Obispo County, you know, we were discussing before the meeting, there is an opportunity to really implement some of these strategies and make a difference. You know, in some counties, it's too late. But in San Luis Obispo, we definitely have the opportunity to to make a difference and to be effective. So that's the goal. And, you know, it may end up that nobody's really willing to step out in front of the train and, you know, do that, but, you know, at least we can make it attractive enough, and hopefully that's, you know, that's the goal, and that explains what we're trying to do, you know, both Ron and Larry and myself. You know, we're kind of using that approach.
I really applaud the effort. I think it's great. I think sometimes the process is just as worthy as any outcome, and you folks are all communicating and you're getting the elected officials involved. I think it's a great, great process.
Gotcha.
Thank you. I'm looking at the panels of presenters, and I know you don't want to add too many folks there, but the big umbrella is growth. That covers everybody we have there, with the exception of there's an issue with integrated waste management, because that's where we're heading, how much room we have, and should that come into the picture as we speak of the future of our land use element. That's one. And two others that come into mind, every time we have, especially in the South County, school has always been part of it, that with growth comes impact on schools. That's somehow been changing, but if they're not sitting in as panels, should they be participants of some level? And the other folks is always, of course, fire and sheriff and or police. That's the safety of our constituency that needs to come into the picture. I know you can't go,
right?
You have more panelists than members in the audience, but can we at least bring them into the picture where they're participants at some level, where their input is as important as the rest of the folks that are serving as panelists?
Absolutely. In fact, there are other panels set up for education and health, also for public safety. And that would involve the fire and the law enforcement agencies in the county, in the cities, and that type of thing. So there's thought being given to that. What we're trying to do is, I think what you said, which is consolidate it in an organized fashion so that we can get some work done. The workshops are planned to go from 9 to 4 on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and get a lot of information out and a lot of things discussed in one day, and we're going to try and cover a lot of issues. And it probably will go, like I think as you were saying, from education all the way to land use patterns, all the way to housing, and cover a lot of the stuff in between as well. And we're aiming to do that, which is bring in as many of the issues as we can.
Shirley?
Cacho's comments on integrated waste management reminded me that years ago I used to say that the minute you get involved in politics, you get the really uplifting things like garbage and sewers. And but in another life that I have, I'm also on the local government board of directors of the local government commission, and that's the entity that put together several years ago the Ohwani Smart Growth Principles. And I was not involved in that, but I certainly do support those principles. And several months or so ago, time flies when you're having fun, you know, the Board of Supervisors adopted the smart growth principles as our policy. We did that, and I supported it, and I support the smart growth principles because, as I've said before, it enables the economy. It changes instead of the economy versus the environment. It becomes, you know, the economy and the environment. It changes it from an adversarial to a cooperative arrangement. And slower growth rates give a government agency time to plan for and to provide the services in a reasonable manner so that you don't end up with the you have to grow in order to pay for the infrastructure. That becomes a really deadly downward, as you can say, spiral of uncontrolled growth. And as I've discussed with David and Paul before, we need to make these workshops we need to publicize them a lot so that we get people to come to the workshops who haven't necessarily been there before and who are interested but need more information, because the thing I've noticed is we've been preaching to the choir, you know, with most of these, and we need to reach out to the public that ordinarily wouldn't come. They need to be there because it's their future as well. And so anyway, that's the end of my preaching to the choir at this point.
Along those lines, what we would appreciate from anybody, actually our names and addresses of people who you think should be involved in this, whatever side of the fence they're on, it does need to be a broader-based dialogue and discussion of the issue. So we need people from all different, and I think there's some people who have been missing. For instance, the banking and the financial industry. We haven't, I don't think, explored a lot of this with what's going on there, because they have some things going on there that promote mixed-use projects now. They're starting to change a little bit and in the way they do things. But that's just an example, I think, making it a broader place. So if you do have names, addresses, email them to me, put them on a piece of paper, whoever you want. Feel free to send them to us. We're in the process of developing the master mailing list right now for inviting people. And so let us know. We really do want to know about who the folks are who do need to be brought to the table.
Wendy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I completely agree, David, because I, you know, in listening to this discussion, I like where it's headed, because I really believe that, you know, we don't want to get into that dilemma where the tail is wagging the dog, and I see the staff, you know, as the tail, and the dog is the community and the people. So I think the admonition for me would be that elected officials certainly need to do their homework and be prepared and talking to their community and come to these if they're going to participate in these, so that they can truly express what the desires of their community and what their region are. Otherwise, you've got staff basically dictating, and we don't, you know, that serves no purpose in my mind. And so it really behooves the community and the elected officials to work a little hard, and if they're going to participate in that, to truly be able to articulate what their communities want. So
we had a great point at our last organizing meeting on Tuesday. That point came up, is that every time, if staff continues to be the driving force, it will just keep going at a certain level and not go any further. But if the communities can jump on it and really keep pushing it, and the people really want to keep pushing it forward, that's when it becomes something that is really meaningful, I think, to communities and to elected officials, to everybody.
Any more comments from the commission? If not, we'll go to public comment. Eric Greening.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and certainly a lot of good ideas have come out of this, and I very much agree with those who want to broaden the scope of participants. I know at Grace Church there was sort of a survey of who was there and so on, and it was 63% male 87% Anglo. There was very little representation of agriculture, the disabled community, or young people. 4%, 4 out of 138 were under 21. People who are 21 today will be 66 in 2050. We definitely need outreach to the young people. A specific type of outreach I would like to mention, because much of the smart growth we're talking about is transportation and moving away from automobile dependency, is that the very planning of these events has ignored the needs of those who are already living in the smart growth universe and not driving. In the first round, the Templeton and Nipomo sessions were such that anyone who needed to get by bus from anywhere from San Luis Obispo, Santa Margarita, Atascadero, the entire five cities, would be 2 hours late. I notice it's improved now to where you'd only be 1.5 hours late. But it is rather distressing to be part of the solution and not be able to access these, and then to have to listen to the self-congratulatory rhetoric of staff people who are talking about this wonderful smart growth future we have, when they didn't think about the people who are already living in that smart growth universe today. So as a solution, I would suggest that the publicity go out, include information about what staff people are commuting to these sessions from where, with extra seats which can be filled by people who need rides. Do outreach to the people who can't just get in their cars and go to these, and then we'll have the entire community. And certainly the vast majority of young people don't have car keys and access to cars. So if we want their participation, the participation of the disabled community and others who have been unrepresented to date, we need to do outreach to people who can't jump in their cars to come to these events. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. I don't quite know when to comment here, whether as an alternate to the Commission or as public. So anyway, thank you for the opportunity. I just want to echo what Paul Hood said about San Luis Obispo County, and certainly if we're going to implement change, the time is ripe to do that. And I applaud the efforts of the people that organized the 2050 Visioning Opportunity and the outreach that they have provided to date. And I think it's essential that if we're going to be credible, we need to carry on with that process and carry it through. And I think my observation has been that the community is ready to listen, ready to participate. I think they recognize what we all do, that we're going to have to change the way we've been doing things historically, or we're going to forever change San Luis Obispo County, and not necessarily for the betterment. And I agree with those that have said we need to broaden the outreach, we need to be a little bit more inclusive in the panels that are presenting, and include health and public safety and education, and try to get all segments of our community engaged in this. But as elected officials, I think that we really need to encourage this process, participate in the process, and then listen to the outcome and implement the strategies that come forward with this. And I'm happy that the various agencies are involved, APCD, LAFCO, SLOCOG. We've got a lot of effort and energy involved currently, and I want to do everything I can, and I hope all of you will do what you can to encourage this process to move forward, engage in it, and then carry it forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patterson. Any other public comment? Hearing none.
I had a comment on Eric's comment. We had just talked about this issue about getting people to the meetings, and the COG is actually taking the lead in getting special buses and special transportation arrangements made, because I think Eric has made that same comment to the COG as well.
and it came up at our last organizational meeting, and they are working on getting the buses in place for these particular days so that there is a way to get folks to the meetings.
Thank you very much, David. Moving on now to B4, Paul.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. We'll move on to a report on the NAPOMO CSD sphere of influence. And as you recall, there were several conditions of approval in the environmental impact report. And periodically, we will bring this back to you so you have a status update on how the district is complying with those conditions of approval in the environmental impact report. Basically, quite a few things have happened. The district is moving along very well. They have contracted with SAIC to update their urban water management plan, preparing an environmental impact report for the city of Santa Maria's NAPOMO CSD pipeline intertie. As you recall, that supplemental water was one of the key conditions. And they're also recruiting for a position that would implement a water conservation public information program to conserve water. Two residential tract maps are proposing to create separate mutual water companies, and this is kind of an offshoot of what we didn't want to happen within the sphere of influence, because they cannot be annexed to the NAPOMO CSD to get water. So there are at least two examples of subdivisions that are creating mutual water companies, which is an unintended consequence. District has updated their water rates, but only increased the rates by a small percentage. I guess there's now a two-tier program rather than the original four-tier program that was proposed, although conservation is very dependent upon rates and how much people pay if they use additional water. The district was not able to implement that, but may be coming back soon with a new water rate schedule. Kenyatta Ranch, which was one of the big areas that we, the commission, included in the sphere of influence, it's an area that's adjacent to the north. NAPOMO Oaks are also proposing major commercial and residential developments. And also they are willing, at least Kenyatta is willing, to pay for supplemental water. So that's a plus if the development is approved. So that would help the NCSD in getting supplemental water. So in summary, and I know Mike Wynn and Ed Eby are in the audience from the district board, it's an informational item. The district is making progress, as I mentioned. Water master plan will help the district. Unintended consequence, we may see an increase in mutual water companies. But we will continue to work with the NCSD and their district manager to meet the conditions of approval and keep your commission apprised or praised of the progress that they're making, because it was a substantial increase in the sphere of influence. But your commission placed conditions that need to be complied with before annexations will be approved. So we'd be happy to answer any questions from the staff level. I know the district is wanting to make comments also on the status.
Wendy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at these letters that we issued, and thank you for the giving them copies of us to the Holloway Mutual Water and then the Oak Glen Mutual. And I guess the bottom line is we're asking for them to talk to each other to see if they could be merged or coordinated. Is there any role that LAFCO plays in that, as far as, or is it just they need to decide if they will do that?
Well, it's something that the county is also wrestling with, because they are approving the subdivisions and development plans, and they would allow mutual water companies. We're hoping that at some point, we can't just say stop what you're doing, don't move ahead. But the district, in implementing the conditions, soon, as quickly as possible, would, not necessitate this alternative approach, which is really not desirable. So, I don't know what else we can do. At this point, we put them on notice, at least the two that we know about. that this is what we'd like to see happen, but you know, if it's going to happen or not is a different matter. You know, the district may be subtracting the water allocations from its safe yield calculations, you know, so that, you know, it's a zero-sum game. You know, if you pump water out of the groundwater basin, it's less water that's available for the general use. And, you know, your commission has determined that the NCSD really should be the agency that coordinates that, you know, groundwater basin allocation. So I think it'll work out in the long run. In the short term, it's not going as well as we would have hoped, but it's not really that bad at this point. They're just pointing out to you what the consequences are and the progress. So I'm sure the district has some comments.
Are there any other comments from the commissioners? I'll make a comment. I really hope that Napomo CSD is subtracting the water that's being pumped. And I really hope that county and NCSD are talking to each other because there's only so much water. Okay, hearing no other comments from the commissioner, go to the public, Ed Eby, followed by Mike Wynn.
Good morning, I'm Ed Eby from Napomo. I am a member of the Board of Directors of the Napomo Community Services District, but I am not here on their behalf today. I'm here on my own behalf. The topic of annexation was mentioned in the staff report and under item B4, and there was a statement in the staff report that the staff report was working with the NCSD to help them comply with conditions of approval for annexation. This set off a couple of alarm bells in my head because I thought we had conditions for annexation, and I thought they were quite workable for our situation. The first item mentioned an interpretation of the conditions to encourage compliance. I believe that the conditions are quite clear and no interpretations are required to make annexations easier. The current NCSD annexation policy prohibits any annexations until we have wet supplemental water in our system. The LAFCO conditions for annexation are less strict. We should not annex until we have wet supplemental water in the NCSD system. The second item was exploring modifications of conditions to allow for compliance. I do not support such a relaxation of conditions. Your EIR and MSR clearly and correctly pointed to the conditions that will protect the existing NCSD customers. The third item rang the loudest alarm bell in my head, and that was complete an amendment to the EIR to modify the conditions. The EIR is a disclosure document. It's a document that discloses facts. You cannot amend or change facts, so you shouldn't tamper with the EIR process. The facts remain that we are exceeding the safe yield of groundwater pumping on the Napomo Mesa and will continue to overpump even after we have our 3,000 acre-feet per year of supplemental water. In 2003, we exceeded the safe yield by 43%, and the gap continues to grow. Existing LAFCO conditions for annexation protect the current NCSD customers from a raid on their water resources by interests outside our boundaries. The existing annexation conditions of LAFCO provide a comfortable buffer between LAFCO and the NCSD to reduce the pressure on the NCSD to repeat unwise decisions that they have made in the past over committing water resources. The NCSD is working as fast as they can to bring supplemental water to the Napomo Mesa. The Napomo Mesa will suffer from any changes in the rules that exacerbate the groundwater condition. I ask you to let us do our job under the existing rules. These are the same ground rules under which we have established our groundwater planning and are moving forward with those plans. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Wynn, followed by John Sykes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. I am Mike Wynn. I am a director in NCSD, and I, again, as Mr. Eby has spoke, I am speaking for myself today and as a member of that group. First, I want to say that I do share your staff's disappointment that we were not able to pass a four-tier rate structure. We do have a two-tier rate structure, and we do feel that if we could move to a more nuanced system that we would encourage people to conserve water, and I hope that we're able to do that as soon as possible. I did give you a handout today, though, to show that the small increase, what was characterized as a small increase, is actually a fairly substantial increase in water rates. I remember listening to an Oceano CSD meeting once in which the person who was then chair was asked, how can we get more people to come out to our meetings? And he said, it's very simple, raise the rates. and we have done so. We have done so. You'll notice that they're going up by anywhere from 10 to 25% annually for the next 5 years. And so I hope you will take my word that this is seen as a significant increase by our ratepayers, and but it's no more than what it needs to go up to, in fact, pay for the things that we're doing in the in our system. Secondly, I do not share the previous speaker's reluctance to see annexations in the district, and I chair a subcommittee for the NCSD that talks about annexation policy. We do believe, in fact, that annexations are in the benefit of the district and they're good public policy, and that a public agency is supplying water to the growth that's going to come, whether we supply it or not, is better than having a proliferation of mutual water companies. And I do hope that we can work with the county to see that that these are not allowed, just sort of a green light to form all over the place. The two in question before you, and you have a map, if you'll see those two, both of those have both water mains and sewer mains that pass directly down the road in front of those two. We could supply both water service and sewer service to both of those. And they're simply forming because they don't want to pay for the true cost of water. All they have to do is pay for electricity to pump water out of the ground. So I hope that whatever you can do, and I realize that you have limits in what you can do, that you will support a more orderly process here. And last, we've sort of been the bad boys on the block when it came to conservation. I remember seeing the RMS report one year that had all of the agencies in the county listed in terms of how many BMPs they had adopted for conservation, and it started with like 13 out of 15, and it trailed down to 4, and then there was a little note at the bottom with an asterisk that said, and Napomo's doing 2. I've given you a list of a number of the BMPs that we're currently following through with, as well as those that we're looking at in terms of possible adoption.
Thank you very much. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Cacho, you had a question?
Yes, either Mr. Wayne or Mr. Abbey. Those projects on Oak Glen, and my understanding is such that the community, and I hesitate to say the community because there's always somebody in the community that doesn't agree, so it's not the entire community, but at large, even at the Napomo Community Advisory Council, there's a support to improve Oak Glen. Because we hear publicly and privately some of the drug dealing, if I may put it as bluntly, and they would like to see that area get cleaned up. And we have some projects coming to us. We have more than just the water issue. We have a secondary access issue, which we're working very hand-in-hand with CDF and our public works, and there's some opportunities for us to look into it favorably. And it seems like this is one area that has not shown any opposition for growth and clean up the area. And an area where towards the end of it, we're doing our best to preserve, such as Dana Adobe and the land around it. So having said that, and if you agree that that is an input that you might hear from the community as well, or you've been hearing from the community, and then where does this annexation come into the picture? Are the circumstances such that you might look at it positively? Of course, that is your choice. And we won't force it upon you. We as LAFCO here, and your water and sewer line does exist because, such as the PACES project is annexed and has a will of intent to serve letter, as we look into their project, but they're being held up because of secondary access. So that is happening, and I'm from an point of view that the Holloway's property, which is, I think, about 20 units, and if they're not annexed and within their rights, they're probably going to pump their own water or have their own water company. And I'm trying to remember, and as much as I don't want to go back and say this is what the judge said, but I guess within quarter of a mile, they don't have the rights for underground water, but within further distance, they have the rights. Am I correct? So that's also, and I stand to be corrected, if I'm not trying to make an issue, I'm just commenting as if we take all this into the picture as what's happening around us, maybe it's worth considering, not necessarily doing it, but considering so that we have looked at it and later on we wouldn't say, we wish we have done it or not done it.
Thank you, gotcha. Mike Seitz, followed by Mike LeBrun. John Seitz, I'm sorry. Got the wrong brother here.
Thank you. My name is John Seitz, and I'm appearing before you as district legal counsel. I wanted to address just a couple issues that have been discussed before I sort of do my spiel. First of all, the water rates that are referenced also included a bump up in capacity charges almost fourfold to address supplemental water. So I want those new water rates not only had an incremental on your regular bi-monthly rates, but new development that is coming into the community is being charged a capacity charge for the Santa Maria Water Project. Secondly, I wanted to address, I hate to contradict my employers, but I feel like a little obligated to do. Actually, the district's annexation policy is two-tiered. If you overlie groundwater that can supply your project, there is no prohibition on annexation dependent on supplemental water. If your project, like the Kanata Ranch, does not overlie sufficient water to supply the project, then the annexation is conditioned on wet water. So it's a two-tiered annexation policy. Now, my concern, the reason why I'm up here today, is the use of mutual water companies within our sphere of influence. There are a number of reports out there that are sponsored by the county, including the Papadopoulos report and the County Planning Department's resource capacity study and your own study that portrays the deficiency of the groundwater basin to supply new growth. The idea of the county approving projects of mutual water companies within our sphere of influence is a direct threat to the groundwater basin and the district's attempts to get supplemental water, because these are the very folks that we hope will help pay for it. And that was the whole idea, I think, between the LAFCO study was, when you take a look at the conditions, annexations were conditioned on supplemental water. And now we have mutual water companies that by all modern interpretation of law has superior water rights to the district because they're somehow characterized as overliers and were appropriators. It's a ticket, you know, it's just...
Ticket to chaos.
It's just unfathomable to me that this could be occurring. So I support, and I think the district does too, any attempts by LAFCO, as mentioned in the staff report, to oppose the formation of mutual water companies within our sphere of influence. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Mike?
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. This is my first chance to speak in front of your commission, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm the general manager of the Napomo Community Services District, and I've been on board with Napomo for almost a year now. I know the sphere of influence identified, and rightfully so, groundwater resources as the key issue for development in Napomo. However,
the sphere or the work that was done around the sphere of influence also carries forward a premise that development is held in check unless and until annexation occurs to the district. And that premise is flawed, and we've seen that premise to be flawed. Historically, we know that the most water-consumptive developments in the Napomo Mesa area have occurred standalone. I refer to the Woodlands Project, to the Black Lake Golf Course, and to the Cypress Ridge Golf Course. Again, golf courses being the most consumptive use of groundwater out there. These have all occurred standalone. Subsequently, Black Lake has annexed to the district. However, this trend continues as the county continues to approve development in the area, subdivision development within our sphere of influence, and without the requirement for purveyor service or supplemental water. This county action, or lack thereof, coupled with your commissioner's requirement for the NCSD to acquire supplemental water prior to annexations, act to promote development dependent solely on the groundwater resources. That's what we're talking about. When we talked about a mutual water company, that's why it frustrated, that's why John, of all people, to lose his, he was so frustrated, the fact that we see these mutual water companies coming in, being proposed, and the development moving forward. Other than the two that you've noted, your staff noted today in the report, I've had two other developers come and tell me, figure out how to annex us, or we're going to form a mutual water company. I don't have 2 years to wait for you to build a pipeline. I don't know if these are idle threats or what, but I'm telling you, the development is out there. And the greatest injustice caused by this set of conditions is that this new development on mutual water companies, as John pointed out, will come in and have a senior water right to the customers of the purveyors. We've got 12 to 15,000 people down in Napomo right now who are customers of purveyors, either the district, Napomo Community Services District, Cal Cities, or rural. Water rights law says that a mutual water company coming in and taking groundwater has a senior right to that groundwater than we do as purveyors. As you know, the Superior Court of Santa Clara County, which is overseeing the groundwater adjudication, is also overseeing a stipulated settlement at this time. That settlement includes a physical solution whereby the groundwater imbalance of the Napomo Mesa subarea is resolved by the purveyors importing supplemental water. It initially envisions, it requires Napomo to lead a project, the NCSD, to lead a project for 3,000 acre-feet of supplemental water. However, there's a caveat. If the basin is not returned to health by that importation of supplemental water, the purveyors will be required to import additional supplemental water in the future. And I'm here to say to you, as long as this development continues outside our sphere of influence, it's not annexed into us, it's relied on the groundwater basin, what that does is it'll continue to hold our basin in balance and require the district and the other purveyors and its customers, these are people, these are faces out there in Napomo, to bring in more supplemental water. And supplemental water, it's costing us right now roughly twice as much as groundwater. That's just to get it, that's just to purchase it. I've still got to get it delivered. And the price of water in California, as you can understand, is only going up.
Mike, your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else here on the commission? If not, B5. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your Twain. He's been so quiet today.
If you push it twice, it's off.
You're on. You got to push the red button so you can talk.
Thank you. My question is from a legal perspective, and that is, doesn't ultimately mutual water companies, aren't they a purveyor? Aren't they selling water in some form or another? They're collecting fees.
Who would be the one to answer that, you or Mr. Seitz?
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert on this, but I don't think it's exactly the same thing that he's describing. They're not purveyors in that sense. They are simply providing water to those units within their boundaries or their jurisdiction instead of extracting and exporting water in the same sense that the CSD does. Okay.
Madam Chairman, if I just
yes.
I hate to be rushing everybody so much, but
I know, I understand.
We do have a time today.
And I'm going to claim the same position as Ray, is that I'm not a water law expert. However, I do know that two things. There's what's classified as overlying rights,
right,
and then there's appropriative rights. Overlying rights have a superior interest in the groundwater to appropriators. Typically, historically, we've thought of overliers as being farmers, that their overlying rights were superior to the towns, the appropriators, who are classified as appropriators. Mutual water companies have been able to develop a niche in the law where they are classified as overliers, the same extent as you would think about as a farmer having overlying rights. And those overlying rights currently under the law are superior to appropriators. They can look just like an appropriator. They can serve the same residential base as appropriators, but they have superior water rights to appropriators.
Thank you, John. Any other? Wendy?
Push the red again.
Wrong button. I just wonder, is there anything currently happening that's being where that is being challenged in the courts in California, John? I don't know. Ray?
It's being challenged all the time. The issue is that, you know, based on current law, they are considered overliers. You know, the water law rights are based on court decisions, not statutes, and so it's always possible that the Supreme Court will change that relationship. But that's why you see mutual water companies forming in over groundwater basins that are stressed, because they automatically have a superior right to local agencies to the water.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, let me add to that. I looked at this question in the context of my counsel to the Mission County Formation Commission in advising Santa Barbara, but I think what John is describing is correct. California has a very unique water law system that's unlike anybody else's. It's what's described as a hybrid system of both appropriative rights and riparian rights. And it's evolved over the last 100 or so years through very complex and inconsistent decisions. So, I mean, in terms of is anybody challenging it and trying to resolve that issue, I don't think specifically, because it's a lot more complicated than that.
Shirley?
Well, to put it in really simple terms, when push comes to shove, the riparian superior owner gets the water and the appropriator has to pull in the... turn the tap off.
Thank you. Any other comments from the commission? And we've had public comment on this. Going on to B5.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief because we are getting towards the end of our allotted time here in the chambers. I wanted to just give you a status report on current proposals, and I'll do that briefly. A lot of times, you know, I list the proposals that have been submitted and are pending in your agenda, which I'm required to do legally. And I would not be surprised if you think occasionally, well, we have all these applications in the office. Why aren't we getting these to the commission for hearing? And I just wanted to go over a couple of items that will try and explain that. We have 12 annexation proposals that have been submitted and two outside user agreements. And each proposal is at various stages of processing and completion. And we have a table that is attached to the staff report that Donna prepares on a weekly basis that we sit down and go over the status of the proposals and see what is ready for hearing, what needs to be, you know, processed, what needs to be scheduled on your commission's agenda for approval. There's several phases of processing. You know, first of all, it takes months really to get an application submitted in the office. We meet with the applicants, the cities, the districts, the property owners, registered voters. The application is submitted. We send out referrals to agencies. The assessor gives us property tax information and ownership information. The auditor is involved in the property tax exchange process that is negotiated between the special districts and the county or the city and the county that's affected by the annexation, say. We go through map reviews and map checks. This could take a month, month and a half. You know, by the time we get changes made, county surveyor checks the maps and legal descriptions, sends it back to the applicant. They make changes, they send it back, they make changes, send it back. So then we get into phase two, which is the property tax exchange process, which could take up to 60 days legally. It's a rev and tax code requirement. Agencies are notified. They get copies of the application. We gather information, and the property tax exchange takes place, and there's a resolution that's adopted by the city and by the county or by the special district and the county. So you're looking at 2 months, you know, maybe even longer if they can't agree on the amount of property tax exchange. And as Dwayne knows, this is sometimes not an easy negotiation process. Okay, so we're into phase three. We set a hearing date, and you know, sometimes we're required to give legal notice. It takes 21 days to give legal notice. There's a lead time to get it to the Tribune or to the different newspapers, so we're looking at 30 days, you know, maybe even longer. Prepare the staff report and analysis, do the CEQA findings, which again is a separate process, and that, you know, that could take, depending on if there's an environmental impact report, it could take a long time, or a negative declaration is a 21-day publication requirement, get comments back from the agencies, and then notices are given out, site visits take place. We go out, as Barbara knows, usually visit the site, meet with the property owners, you know, make sure we understand what the issues are, prepare a map and graphics for the staff report. The PowerPoint presentation is prepared, and the agenda packets are prepared and mailed out. So we have a public hearing, which is the first time probably that the commission really sees the application. You know, this could be 3 or 4 months from the time that the application is submitted, and could be even longer. If there's some requirement, you know, we usually like to have a tentative map or a subdivision that's approved by the agency before we send it to for a LAFCO hearing. And then we make the presentation, and you make a decision. And following that, Donna gets real involved in filings. You know, the State Board of Equalization resolutions are prepared and signed by the chair. We file with the Secretary of State. County Recorder is the time that the application is actually finalized. We have a large distribution list, how many, 15, 20 agencies that are mailed, everybody from the Highway Patrol to the county sheriff, CDF, so that they know that they're not required to provide services, you know, county roads and everyone. And if there's a condition of compliance, then, you know, with NAPOMO, we monitor that until the conditions are complied with. So, you know, when you look at the agenda packet, you know, maybe have a question in the back of your mind, you know, why isn't this scheduled for LAFCO hearing? Well, that's the reason. There's several things that need to be done. And, it's a very bureaucratic, paper, intensive process. And it's all spelled out, in the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act. We're not doing anything different than any other LAFCO does. Here's a couple of proposals, the McCoy Lane annexation in Templeton that David Brooks knows about. McBride annexation is pending out by Delidio. Bishop Knoll annexation, City of San Luis Obispo, Los Robles del Mar that Cacho knows about, that's been pending for years and should be coming to LAFCO sometime in the next couple of months. So, you know, we will be processing these applications, and the list is ever growing. We received 3 applications in the month of June, which, as I mentioned in the budget update for the year end, that kind of saved our bacon from a budget standpoint. That was significant revenues that we received, and really meant that we broke even on the budget almost this past fiscal year. So anyway, that's the end of my update, and I hope it was helpful for you.
Okay. C1
is the only action item on your agenda today, and I'm recommending, you know, we have been asked to vote on the Special District Risk Management Authority Board of Directors
And my recommendation would be is that I meet with the special district representatives on LAFCO and decide who we should vote for as a commission, since I'm not really familiar with the candidates, and I'm not sure if the commission is either. So,
does anybody have a problem?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners. I look through all of the nominations, basically, and their various qualifications. And some of you may know some of the candidates. It would be good to hear if anybody does. I personally know John Woolley, who's a supervisor from Humboldt County, and he was one of the original members of this board, hasn't served on it in the last few years, but is requesting to be back on the board, and I would just like to advocate that we vote for him. He is a county supervisor, one of the, from the information I gathered from the nomination sheets, one of the only elected officials that's applying, and I think it's important that we try to have a broad representation on this board if we could. And if you look at their geographic distribution, most of them are from south and central county counties. I think it might be good to get more representation from throughout the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Mr. Patterson, in the future, when you come up, would you mind identifying yourself? We all know who you are, but perhaps the public doesn't, and it makes it easier for Donna taking the minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. Wendy.
Right. I just prepared to recommend or make a motion that Paul be on our behalf responsible for voting for us and take in consideration the comments being made today.
I was prepared to make that motion, so I'll second it. I also, adding to that, Madam Chair, I think that Alternate Commissioner Patterson's comments were very good, and maybe the two folks representing special districts could take those into consideration.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Ray, then we'll deal with this.
Madam Chair, as a housekeeping matter, I note that this is going to require a resolution that be sent in, and typically the resolution would be adopted on the record. I would recommend that the maker of the motion, the second, modify the motion to include approval of this resolution and delegate to Chairperson Mann the authority to execute on behalf of the commission once the members are selected.
Thank you, Ray. Absolutely.
The second is okay. Motion's on the floor. Public comment. Seeing none, bring it back. Call the question. Do we need a roll call? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We just have a few minutes left before we have to...
Madam Chair, just quickly under commissioner comments.
That's what I was going to go to.
I know, but... a thought occurred to me, and I don't have second thoughts. I'm very honored that you all nominated me to go to CalLAFCO if elected. The thought is such that if the person has a better chance to get elected is a person who has often attended those meetings, and some of my colleagues here who have served longer and gone to all meetings, they're more deserving. I have absolutely no problem to step down. I want to be sure that my feelings are shared with all of you, and I'll be happy to go there, but I have no problem. I want to share with you that if a chance is better to have somebody elected who has known the folks and have gone to those meetings, I don't want to create any disturbance here.
Thank you for your comments, Katja.
I think there's something to be said for fresh eyes.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Wendy, not your turn, hon. David?
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that I will be here for the next meeting in September, but then I'll be leaving for about 7 weeks then, so
okay.
I'll let you know that I will not be in the area from the 15th on to about the first week in November.
Push the red button.
The other
red button. Okay. To repeat, I'm leaving after our meeting on the 15th of September, and I'll be back the first week of November. We'll arrange for the alternate to attend, Stan.
Okay, now Wendy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize. My comment was to compliment our staff this morning. We went right over the consent agenda, but the the report on our fiscal stance, and all of you are to be commended for keeping us in the black and in such good stead, and I really do thank you for your efforts. I know it's not easy.
Thank you. Any legal counsel comments?
No, I have no comments this meeting.
Executive officer comments?
Just one brief comment. At the Cal-LAFCO conference, I'm assuming that Chairman Mann will be the San Luis Obispo LAFCO's voting member at the election. And I think that Richard Roberts would be the alternate if Chairman Mann is not able to be at that that session.
Thank you. Anything else? We are now adjourned.
I didn't.